singing is just like monotone and whatever. And he said, there's no singing like the singing at Welcome Baptist Church. That's what he said to me. You don't know how that blesses my heart. And and we've got something to sing about, rejoice about. We certainly do. You can be open your Bibles to Psalm 84. You'll say, thank God we're not turning to Genesis. Well, we may anyway. But we've been reading about Rebecca and on her journey back to Isaac, some 500 miles by camel. Can you imagine that, ladies? Riding on a camel for 500 miles. I can't imagine me doing it or anybody else doing it. But that's what we've been studying about, and we're going to make application about her journey home. And you'll see in a moment or two, hopefully, the idea that's still in the subject of homeward bound. Homeward bound. My daddy had a lot of sayings. I've told y'all some of them. You mighty come a skipping's one of them. That means things are going good. And he had some other sayings that I won't say to you in a mixed company or from the pulpit, which was not vulgar, but it's man talk. Amen. Man talk. I'm sorry, but we got a generation around here that don't. I'm afraid you're not going to have. That man talk's going to be extinct if we're not careful. I mean, talking like a man. I mean, I don't say dirty stuff, nothing like that. I'm just saying man talk. Okay. Does any of you ladies know anything about women talk? That you wouldn't dare talk in front of a man? You carry on, have a good time. But if a man walks up, you change the subject. That's the truth, and I know it. Because I got four daughters and a wife. A bunch of granddaughters coming along. I know how it is. My daddy had a saying, and let's just pray, Father, help us, Lord. I pray that everything said today through me would be what you want. And Lord, may the power of God be present as we journey on. Save the lost. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. When I'd get hurt or something, hey, oh, Daddy had that old Chevrolet pickup, and the windshield wipers were like this. Turn them on up there, and it's about that long. I couldn't see out. It's like when Levi was traveling with me one time, my baby son, they would sit right beside me in that Toyota pickup, and I say, you know, he's a little guy. When they got potty trained, they got to go with me, and that's when you start to become a man, is when you get potty trained. So he'd sit beside me. All the boys did that from time to time as they were growing up, but I was looking at the clouds, and I said, how did I say this? Oh, yeah. I was looking out at the road and the beautiful scenery, something going on. I said, did you see that, son? And he said, all I see is clouds. He couldn't. And that's good. It's keeping your head up. Amen. But when, you know, there'd be a horse fly. Does anybody know what a horse fly is? It's a fly as big as a horse. And I seen my daddy take them fly, get them horse flies off the windshield and pull their wings off and let me play with them. I didn't really want to play with them sometimes. You know, your daddy was mean. Well, I'm not scared of horse flies anymore, with or without wings. So if I fell down or something, you know, kids do fall down. If I had a breakdown, you ever had a breakdown? Daddy would say this, and I always thought I questioned his love when he would say this. I'd fall down. He'd say, or I'd something would hurt me, and he'd say, it'll feel better when it quits hurting. That didn't help me one bit. That sort of made me angry and thinking bad about my daddy. Then if I if I fell down, he would say what? Get up and try it again. I don't want to fall down again. Get up and try it again. You know, like mama, oh mama. But daddy, get up and try it again. It'll feel better when it gets hurting. Breakdowns are part of life. They're inevitable. They're unavoidable breakdowns. God knows our flesh. He knows our frame. We're but dust. He knows we're weak. You can have a mechanical breakdown. I don't like those. You guys are in the computer world have a computer breakdown. You know about stuff like that. You know how they can attack us and all that and break down our system. In and out of Mexico a lot of times. We had a van we were traveling in one time. We come off of these mountains down in there, and we'd had about 14 flats already, and all alongside the roads, they got vulcanizing places. You know what that means? Patching tires, curing, burning a patch on a tire, and so a tube. And so anyway, we come off that hill, mountain, and we had another flat, and we looked over that. We got out. I jumped out and ran around, and on the back drivers, on the driver's side, like five lug nuts. There was only one on there, and it was almost off. You talk about God watching over somebody. There'd been white and brown meat all over that road, or down in the valley or somewhere. There's physical breakdowns. Physical things can break. I don't like it. Your plumbing can break. Man, if a man could ever lose their religion, it'd be me over trying to fix a plumbing part. There's mental breakdowns. You know, our mind is just like, I don't know if I'd call it an organ or what, but our brain. You can have heart problems, you can have kidney problems, you can have all kinds of stomach problems, and that's part of your body, and your mind can get sick too. I really can get hurt, get wore out. I mean, if you look in the mirror and you see you've aged some, guess what's aged with it? Your organs and your brain. And you can have a mental breakdown. And what do they call them? I don't know. They got new words for calling things now. They have a meltdown. I mean, you know, that's something different. To a meltdown, something get over. But if you have if your brain gets old, you can't make it be young again. I mean, you take all that stuff off the television you want to take, and your brain's going to get old, the rest of your body. But mental breakdown, nervous breakdown, bless you. They have things called a nervous breakdown. And I said to somebody yesterday, I said, you got to have nerves before you can break down. I said, I don't have any nerves. It's just inevitable and it happens. There's spiritual breakdowns. On the way home with Rebecca, a 500-mile trip, and if that was 500 miles, that's the word five is the word grace for what it's worth, and 500 miles means there's grace for every mile on the way home. But we have breakdowns. We have times that causes us to just fall down. The Bible says a just man falleth seven times, but he riseth up again. He gets up and tries it again. He don't stay down. You know, everybody knows that I've been having radiation treatments, and I'm just going to briefly say this because it's a great illustration. They said it would give me periods of weakness that would come upon me that I didn't even know was going to happen. Just every once in a while it'd hit you. And you know what they told me to do? There's a man named Scotty. Derek knows Scotty. And he said, he calls me Pastor. And you know, that's okay. That's all right. He's a very good Christian man. He said, Roger, you're Pastor Butler, he said, it'll come upon you without you knowing it. And then he said, if you lay down, you lay down, but don't lay down over 15 minutes. Because he said, if you lay down, you'll stay down. Here's what he said. He said, when you feel that weakness coming on, you got to push. You got to push through it. Now, there's not a one of us as believers that do not face weak times spiritually. And if we ever lay down, we're in trouble. And break down. It's one thing to have a breakdown. I wondered, I don't know if mules wear mule shoes like horses wear horseshoes. But one of them mules might have broke down. One of them may have got a rock in its hoof or something. I don't know. There's many, many things that can cause a breakdown. There's many, many things on a journey like that. And there's many things that can cause us to have a breakdown spiritually. Well, King David brought his breakdown on himself because of his sinful weakness, just like every one of you and I have. And there was a time when he had to go back to God because of his sin. He said, cleanse me from sin that I can help other people. And I'm paraphrasing, I think it's Psalm 51. He had to get back on track because he got sin in his life that gave him a breakdown, which resulted four of his children, and the baby died. You know the story. You know the story. But one little sin can give you a breakdown. It can knock you off of your feet. Sickness can. Sickness can cause you to have a breakdown. I guess some of the greatest witnesses that I've ever known as a preacher and a Christian is seeing people sick that still maintain a godly testimony and don't break down. I'm trying not to use the word I, because I think it's selfish to continue to use the word I. Just like I told y'all, I was going to quit trying to say you know. Sickness. My daddy got rheumatoid arthritis, crippling. He was much of a man. I was born late in life. When he was younger, my uncles tell me about when he was younger and things that they did. He got crippling arthritis. It caused him to be bent over and his hands like this and his feet ached. He lived with pain every day of his life. And his friend, Ernest Hasty, that run the gas station on South 11th Street, right across from State Street where I grew up, they were best buddies. Daddy would go down there and sit in the sun. The sun would help him. We met Mr. Hasty, who lived just not far from where I live now. That's where he lived. And Mr. Hasty got crippling arthritis too. Later. And I remember my daddy telling Mr. Hasty, he said, and they called each other Mr. Butler and Mr. Hasty. And they were best friends. They traded hogs. Y'all don't know nothing about that. We borrowed a boar. He had borrowed a boar. We were in the hog business. If you want to make a lot of money, get in the hog business. One thing about it, you'll always have something good to eat. If you believe in eating hogs. And here's the advice that he gave Ernest Hasty. He said, Mr. Hasty, you can't sit down. You got to keep moving. On the way home, if you fall down, you're going to have to get up and get back on your feet and get to going. Some people have a pity party. That ain't going to work. That'll keep you down. And some people will gather people around them and have a pity. That'll have a pity party with you, and they'll keep you down. They'll get you to think you're about to die or something. Sickness, sorrows. I got some people that I try to witness to when I see them out in the world. One man's named Jim. beats all I've ever seen. He said he was a Christian. I talked to him the other day. He said he knew the Lord. He said, I had to because I went through a divorce. His wife died. He got remarried. He said it in 2 states and 4 lawyers, his total 401k gone. He had a farm with 20 acres and a lake. It's gone. He lives in a little place up here on the mountain now, works down here at Walmart. His name's Jim in automotive. Be a friend to him. He said, if it wasn't for God, I couldn't have made it. Separations can cause breakdowns. I think about in my life, there I go again, but in the ministry for preaching for these years, I've had to separate for some people that are dear to my heart, other preachers that chose to believe some other way and do some other thing. And it hurts to know people that you have had confidence in that choose some other way, and then you have to separate yourself from their ministries. That hurts really bad. What are you going to do about it? To accept it, to continue to work together means you're compromising, and it's just as bad to condone it as it is to be doing it yourself, is what I think. You may have some other opinion about that, but I know how it hurts and how it can cause you sadness and get you to break down. Look, Marco's my dear friend, but when Marco left this story, knows of that story, when Marco left to go to Arkansas, I went in my closet and I said, dear God, I thought I was dying. When Marco chose to go another way, now he's got back on track now. He's got back on track. Marco's a wonderful man. He's my dear friend. But it hurt. It can be a satanic attack. For a season, Jesus went through the attacks, and Jesus went through everything that we go through. You know, I love the thought about this. Jesus didn't break down, but he broke through. But I'm going to tell you, there's a time that I've been reading this week in the Gospels where the disciples went to sleep on him, and he knew that he was about to be beat half to death, and he knew that he was going to be nailed to a cross. But he kept something focused. I'm not for kids dancing and all, I'm for them exercising, but I read a story about ballerina last week that I come across, and how the ballerina does it. They stay focused on where they're on a certain, I don't know exactly what I'm talking about, for them to do all them flips and turns and all that junk like that, you know, they stay focused on one primary sight or something like that. And you know, that's what we need to do. In Hebrews 12, it says, looking, chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We got to stay focused on Jesus. In times of possible falling, or when we do fall, we got to get our eyes back on him. But I read about Jesus in the Gospels where his disciples went to sleep on him. He knew what was about to happen. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. What? The joy? The cross? The beatings? The denials? That's not the joy. The joy is he looked beyond the difficulty to see the joy that waited him if he would continue on. And he was in that garden by himself. And while he was there, the Bible says he questioned his father maybe 3 times. And it's not a direct question. It may have been an inferred question. But he said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, thy will be done. And so I learn from that and I say, well, when I'm faced with something that is a possible difficulty in my life, I have to say, Lord, if there's any way out of this, let me out. If not, Lord, help me to stay focused to go through it. And Jesus did that. Amen. But the Bible says he was in much agony. And he told the disciples, he says, I'm very sorrowful unto the point of dying before you ever made it to the cross. And you know, that's a possibility. You can face something that's coming your way. You can die prematurely or trust God to go through it. So there's no need to worry. And you do worry. But Jesus' blood, it says, become his sweat become as great drops of blood. And I hear these theologians, these people that are a lot smarter than I'll ever be. And they say, well, it was like blood. I've read medical theories and medical findings about a person could be under so much pressure and stress and so much hurt that they actually, when they sweat, the blood can come out of their veins and out of their skin and they can sweat blood. You can check that out. Jesus sweat great drops of blood. And here's what amazes me. As the Bible says, when he was at that point before he went on, in the middle of those prayers, the Bible says there was an angel that came and strengthened him. Now, you figure that one out. Does God need any help? You answer that question yourself. The Bible says that an angel from heaven came and strengthened him. Now, if an angel came from heaven and strengthened Jesus, how much more do we need some heavenly strength to face whatever's coming before us as we're headed home? Ah. 500 miles. John 4. The Bible says and they'd been walking and Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. And the disciples said, hey, we ain't going through that part of town. No. We're not going even to the town. We're going around. And the reason was for it was because the Samaritans were half-breeds, intermixed into other nations. Alexander the Great was responsible for a most part of that because when he took and became the leader of the great world, the world leader at that time in the Grecian Empire, when he would take a country, he would leave his soldiers there and his generals to occupy and rule those areas. Antiochus Epiphanes was one of those, and he's a great picture of the Antichrist. And by the way, how he won the people over, he gave them things. And he's a great picture of the Antichrist. So I tell you what, the Bible says there's Antichrist, there's going to be an Antichrist with a capital A, but there's already in John, 1 John there, he says there are already Antichrist with a small A, little Antichrist everywhere. And I tell you, you better watch a government that's wanting to give you something to get you to favor them. So anyway, Alexander the Great put his men in there and they integrated and married the women and they became half-breeds, half and half or quarters or eighths or whatever they were. They come all mixed up and the Jews didn't have nothing to do with them. They wouldn't even go near them. They wouldn't even go through their country. And the disciples said, we ain't going through there. In a matter of words, we ain't got no business there. And Jesus said, I must not needs go through Jerusalem or through Samaria. And when the Bible says in John chapter 4 that Jesus, when he sent them into town to get some food because they were hungry. And you know what Jesus did? He sat down being wearied with his journey. He sat down at a well. I
I'm stopping a minute and pausing to just think how far I need to go with this, because I've got a lot of material right here and I've not even broke the ice. The Bible said he was weary with his journey. Oh, it's one thing. He was away from home. He was away from his father. And not only away from his father, but he was not in a resort area. You better be careful going to resort areas. Down somewhere in the Caribbean, there's a man now facing a 12, 15 year prison sentence, an American, that was headed back from a resort area, and they found 4 bullets in his baggage that he had failed to get out when he went in. 4 bullets, no gun. An American citizen now is facing 10, 15 years in prison time because he had bullets in his baggage. Better be careful. I know a missionary, they found a 22 hull. In case you know what that means, the bullet was gone and the casing was there. And they found it in his car and he went straight to jail in Mexico. I cleaned my pockets out before I crossed that border. I've lost a lot of good knives going into Mexico at the airport. Them sorry rascals, they get my knife and put it in their pocket. I'm talking about Americans do. And the Mexican. I put it in my baggage, it goes under. Now when I get there, I get it out, and you say, that ain't a very good weapon. Well, that's about 2.5 inches long. How would that feel in your belly button? I'm sorry. Give me your money, okay, there it is. I get my knives. So I tell you what, Jesus sat down by the well because he was wearied with his journey. You know what's bad? There's teenagers now that have got weary with the journey. Teenagers. Up around on Sand Mountain over there around Buck's Pocket. I can't remember the name of that community over there, and I've not even read nothing in 84. You don't want me to get started on that, because at 15 till you're going to say, I'm traveling home. So in that area up there, I'm trying to remember the name of it, pretty country, little school system there. And when I worked in that area, I was there twice a year. I come to realize, and I worked a lot of lunchrooms, and a lot of school teachers had insurance with us. My old principal had insurance with us, Alto Johnson from Jesse Dean Smith. He was bald as a buzzard. Back then, we would walk by his office and he'd be shining his head, waxing his head. So that's okay. My hair may fall out because of that, but I hope not. I got a cousin that can put hair back in. So Alto, I walked up there. I said, I had him on the books. I was in Albertville. And I said, let me tell this story. I looked at Alto Johnson. Surely that ain't my old principal. I don't want to see him. He'll make me sit in the office again. Or he'll give me another paddling. Or he'll make me give the marbles back. Me and Vance Robinson had every marble in Jesse Dean Smith School. We had them stacked in cigar boxes in our lockers. We played for keeps. There wasn't a kid in the school had a marble, me and Vance. Al told Van out about it, and we had to divide them up. I said, he's going to remember that. So I said, Mr. Johnson, was you? He said, yeah, I was principal there. He said, I had some of the craziest teachers. They would never send me a good teacher down there. I'm thinking, that's what my problem was. I had crazy teachers. So anyway, and he said, yeah. I told him, I was Roger Bowen. He said, yeah, I remember you. He said, I remember you, Baker. I said, Baker? I knew the Bakers. I was not a Baker. But up there in that school around Buck's Pocket, number one suicide per capita in the United States of kids. They get weary of the journey. That's too young to get weary Man, when I was 16 years old, man, I knew I was all over this community, knew everybody here, happy as I could be. And you know what? I got to thinking, why can't I be that happy again? And I am happy. But along the way, I've been in some weary times. And if you're honest with me, you have been too. Mamas get weary. Daddies get weary. I feel for a man that's going to the job tomorrow saying, I don't want to be here. Well, get another job. You say, maybe you can't. And I understand, maybe you can't. Maybe you got yourself in so much debt somewhere you can't. You'll never be happy. Some way you can be happy. Some way, and you know how. I mean, you gotta do what Jesus. You gotta, you know, that woman. And I'm gonna get further with this, but when that woman, that Samaritan woman, come up, you know what he asked for? Want some water? He needs some water. And you know that you gotta get to the well. Be not weary in well doing. Be not weary in well-doing. If you're doing right, be not weary in well-doing, for we shall all reap in due season if we faint not. Let's stand. I want to preach more, but I'm not. I think the Lord wants me to stop right now. We'll pick it up next Sunday. Are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. You can get some help today. Just come to the well. Father, I thank you for these people's kind attention to listen. I believe that they have listened intensely. And Lord, may now we be honest with one another and with you. If we need help, Lord, we'll come to you for the river, the water of life, freely. We can drink it, come freely. Get restored, renewed. And I pray for those that may be unsaved, that may not even know what we're talking about. I pray you'll bless them and open their hearts to receive Jesus this morning. In your name I pray. Now you come on right now, whoever you might be. Bring it to the Lord.